And I was suggesting to them that I said we could look at, we could enclose in an area, either on the west or the south coast, and make it into a fish farm so that we could at least cut down our fish bill by having certain fish in that farm. And the people agree with that too. And they said, I said, I'm looking at. So I'm waiting. I see that come to pass before I go. Because I think that's a very good idea also. And the minister and the people from the Coastal Zone Unit and the people from university, they all agree that that's something that we're looking at and that they should take on board.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling. And we have to take a break now and come back to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, welcome back to Brass Tacks. We're in the getting into the home stretch now. We have just over 15 minutes to go. It's been an interesting program so far. But before I go to the next call, I'd like to make comment on an item that came in today in history from University of West Indies that came in during the break. I think, I'm not sure, it's, yeah, today in history, where he talked about Winter Crawford and his proposal for a flour mill. Two things about that. Winter Crawford was easily one of the greatest visionaries we had in politics in Barbados. And not all of his visions were materialized, but some of them materialized and realized. Because in addition to the flour mill and many other things, he maybe also proposed a world fair in KFL. He also proposed that should be a plastic shoe factory. And even proposed that the government creates beach houses. What we call bay houses in those days, for workers who can go into this bay housing and spend their vacations in the same way that the money class was able to do at cattle washing, other parts of the beaches in Barbados and whatnot. And also, it's interesting that his vision was mentioned on the same day as we had earlier talked about myself and the ex-banker about the vision of Tom Adams, because Tom Adams is the one who was brought in, who made it possible to have the flour mill erected in 1978. And one of the reasons why I said earlier that I'd worked with two great prime ministers, especially in economics, Tom Adams and Owen Alf, because they were both well-trained, well-schooled economists, and they were not guessing and being dependent on anybody's briefs. But what they were ever equipped to make their own judgment based on their own experience and whatnot. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Could we take the next call, please? Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Mr. Murray. How are you doing?
How are you?
I am faring with the COVID pandemic and doing the best I can and staying safe and alert.
Here's your brother in that regard.
Pardon?
I said, here I am, your brother in that regard.
Okay, I have something that you might not want to hear, but it's not for you. It's for the regular callers. They need to do what I do, pick their moderators wisely when they need to get a point across. By now, the regular callers should know which moderator they can discuss certain issues with, especially delicate ones with, and some they need to keep far from and wait till their moderator comes on. Because even though you might not want to hear what they have to say, we, the listeners, the proactive listeners, are very much interested in all opinions in order for us to form an opinion on a certain issue. That's number one. Number two, I would like the Minister of Home Affairs to come on the air and publicly explain to the people of Barbados why Marsha Hine Lanes was removed from the board. We don't want to hear other people's ideas of why. We want to know from him why she was removed. And secondly, why the whistleblower was removed. You know, sending a clear message. You know, I call this, what we call this in Canada, is people who talk with forked tongues. You're saying one thing but meaning another. You want whistleblowers. You want people to come out and expose corruption in the country. But when they do, out of a job, thank God that she had the nerve. And it takes nerve when you're on a job, because I'm not sure that I would have been bold enough to do it when I was working for that good money to expose someone in my company. But she did it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's right. I am, clearly.
You understand exactly what I'm saying. So I want him to tell us why he let her go. There's two women in this country that I have a great deal of respect for, because they don't only talk the talk, they walk the talk. One is Marcia. I have known her for quite a long time now. I know her personally. I know her as a person who defends women's rights and children's rights. And Sandy Kelman, another one. All the others are big talk to me. I don't see their action. I don't see what they're doing. I don't see what they're doing for the elderly in this country. I'm an elderly, and the disrespect that is meted out to people that do not have a voice like I do. I witness it every day, the mistreatment that they receive in this little old Barbados. You know, things have to change. Things have to change.
I agree with you, because I have periodically mentioned that one of the issues that we have not confronted in Barbados is the whole question of ageism, where people are discriminated every day on the basis of their age and age alone, or to start with. It's an issue, and as we say, we are an aging society. It is an issue that we have to, in the same way we have to tackle racism and those kind of issues. That is an ism that also needs to be tackled, and people have to be made aware that what they do to seek to discriminate against people on behalf of age is wrong, is immoral, is even made illegal. And I think there's something we have to go forward in the years to come.
Exactly. But like I said, if we want to encourage whistleblowers, especially in the government and in the private sector, we need to reward
agreed.
Them.
Reward agreed.
Them. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Before I take the next call, for those who might have issues with my moderating on some people, I use my judgment, like all other moderators do. And if you find that a caller is coming with the same story, virtually the same words repeating, I believe that any human being after a while would say, I've heard that before. And therefore, I use my judgment to curtail, to compress, to move on to something. So that's a judgment that everybody can take. And I think it's something that is the responsibility of the moderator, because you have to take in the same way, if somebody were going down a road, which would lead a legal trouble, I think you have to understand that the rest of the public, no matter whom you might much like, there are people out there who want freshness and change and differences, not the same story, word for word. That is why I said earlier, you know, if you can't change the tune, at least change the lyrics, change the mention, because you cannot be good listening to hear the same story the same way in the same tone every time. Brastas, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Murray, how are you, sir?
I'm good, yourself?
I'm great, Mr. Murray. Mr. Murray, glad you're looking at minimum wage. It's something I was always looking at for a long while. Now, minimum wage in Barbados is $6.25. Now, let me tell you, for instance, a car coming from America at $6,000, when a car touch here in Barbados and cost you about $50,000. That $6,000 car in America will call $50,000 in Barbados. Now, a worker in America worked for $7.50. That lowest minimum wage that I know in America is $7.50 an hour. But that fella could work a year and buy that car. And America and Barbados know that, but that fella got to work at least 5 years, save for 5 years to buy that car in Barbados. So it's totally ridiculous.
But you realize, sir, we don't manufacture cars in Barbados.
I could go and do, you don't manufacture, but the price still have to deal with your money. The price in that then put you still got to deal with your money. What is that to get people money that can't buy nothing then?
But you know, From my recollection, the price of cars is largely determined by the amount of taxation put on it.
Yeah, but just to buy, just give people money, $300 a week just to buy rum and cigarettes. That's all you get. They can't buy no good material. They can't get a house. Come on, man. Now, I've been in the store, and the cheapest ham I see in the store was $93 and change. Let me say $94. In Canada, you could work an hour with minimum wage and you could buy ham. In America, you work half an hour with minimum wage and buy ham. But in Barbados, you got to work a day and a half to buy ham in Barbados. You could imagine that?
Can I interrupt you here, sir? I think you have to be aware in something in economics is known as economies of scale. Where the more that you can do, when you're gonna produce an item, you set it in machinery, you put your staff, you put the material, and the more you can do it in one run, the cheaper it is than to do it bits and smaller pieces. So therefore that's one of the reasons that you have a larger basket, the cost goes down, the greater of number, all things being equal, being produced. So that is one of the reasons why
you just tell me that we import cars. We produce some in Barbados. We produce some in Barbados, Mr. Morgan.
Yeah, but I'm saying you also it is not a fairy tale matter. You know, it is business, and people try to charge what they think the market can bear. People try to maximize their profits.
And go back to what you were talking about earlier with the call about price control. The government allowed the business people to do as they like in this country. Forget about the workers. I love the business people could care and put any kind of price on you and get what they want. Because Gavar stand up against them.
But yesterday the prime minister warned that she is not, her government is not going to be tolerating that if these massive increases come after the imposition of the minimum wage.
But then she can go put the price control on it then. But I don't think the minimum of it. I feel that we should go back to cost 11, 1, 2, and 3 and bring down the prices of these things. These prices is totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Let me show you something, Murray. I'm glad for YouTube that I can see what's going on in other countries. In Jamaica, a good, let me say a pound of rice. In Jamaica, it costs 100 Jamaican dollars. That's only $2. Less than $2. That same pound of rice in Barbados, a pound of rice costs $10. That's $5. So we some trick along the way that the balance in Barbados is not really balancing. We are still paying more U.S. money for the goods than in Jamaica.
Why do you think that's so? Because the importers, then
the government allowed the bankers then to offer us.
But don't you think there are other factors involved? For example,
man, no, tell me other factors, man.
Sir, give me a little break, man. Give me a break.
Yeah,
I beg you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Marita, you take as much break as you want, man.
Okay. In Barbados, the cost of wages is higher than in Jamaica. The standard cost. Because if you are buying a good an item at a Jamaican supermarket, you have to, a supermarket or any vendor present its cost into the item, because the item, if the cost of labor is higher, it goes into the price that's told to you. So you, it is not a fair comparison because the factors
fair,
are not
man.
Always the same.
Huh? It is fair. Just watch this. That the government, Bob.
You're dealing with
stand against the business people in this country. They allow them to do as they like.
There's nothing fair in capitalism. As you can see now, with the battle in the international battle over the COVID vaccine. These people who are supposed to be so fair and civilized and want to tell us how to live our lives. Look how they're fighting and scrambling and undermining one each other, trying to keep off for themselves. That's capitalism.
It's not fair. Biggest. Let me tell you something before I get see what happened here with this COVID. This can end up just like AIDS. AIDS start in America with Ron Hudson, and then all of a sudden it fled to Africa. This thing starts supposed to be in China. But by the time, by long this thing can end up in the black countries where we can be suffering more than anybody. So what you can see, because we ain't got no gun for standing up against those capitalist people that you're talking about. That's
all right.
In this country.
We got to run, sir. We come to the end of this program. We need to entertain some more calls. Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes, sir. You know, we were talking about like, human rights, you know, and like, the lady that calling about the older people, and they say once a man, twice a child. So if you don't respect children, when you get older, you ain't going to respect children, older people either. But I wanted to speak about something else. I remember years ago, there was a pastor that came to Barbados, a black pastor from America, and he was preaching, and I really saw within myself that he was really sincere. Because he used to do a lot of fasting. And he said he begged the Barbadians that were there at his, service, whatever, to pray and fast for Barbados because he had seen something coming to Barbados. I think he said an earthquake or something like that. And that we needed to fast to intercede for Barbados. So I decided that I was going to fast from meat for a whole month. Right? Not totally fast, but from abstaining from meat for a whole month. So a family member of mine, she took me to a restaurant to, like, dine out at nighttime. So I ordered a Caesar salad, I remember, and I don't remember what else. And then she was like, so why are you not having this? And I'm like, oh, I am fasting and from meat. And you know what she did? She purposely put meat within my salad. So these older people, they do not respect younger people. I mean, something as simple as that may seem like nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, suppose that became a dispute. No, she's older than me. Like, say I was living at her. You know, she can easily say, oh, you don't want to live by my rules. You have to leave. I never say, but what's so wrong? And then a discussion, and then another person comes and say, but she's older than you, and you're living at her. So, we know, a lot of people in Barbados know that things have been going on in Barbados that have been on the hand for centuries. Well, those only go so far for years, and they have kept their mouth silent. And as a gentleman calling, I said yesterday, silence is complicity. And a lot of Barbadians going to have to answer for God for things that they did to children, older people, and everybody is leaving out the psychiatric hospital. But a lot of unjust things is going on down there. And I stand to die because I have nobody in this country who was sent there wrongfully before a just trial. I was I was wrongfully sent there. Because I did not have a fair trial.
And did you seem to get redress for your problem?
I went to a lawyer, and if you know the lawyer, I went to the crap that he set up in the court and told the magistrate. I cannot believe to this day. And you know what? When the magistrate finally let my case go, when I turned up in his court dressed like how the members of the Queen's family dress, sir.
The members of what?
The royal family of England. Because when I went to court, I was dressed as a Muslim. And this island constable, she used to pick me up every time, doing nothing, just because I was a Muslim. That is the human rights indignity that people are suffering in this country. And nobody is speaking out on the behalf of the rights of people. I have nothing against psychiatry. Because people will always be depressed. People will always need a shoulder to lean on. But there is a right way, and there is a wrong way to do things. So have a pleasant day.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Brass Tax, do you have time for one more, John? If you're too close, let me know. One quick call. Good afternoon. You're going to round up the day. Brass Tax? Hello? Brass Tax, good afternoon. I think you're gone. I want to thank you very much, John, for an excellent program. You made it very lively and interesting and took good care of me. I want to thank all those who called. And I thought we had a good, provocative discussion. I look forward to more further inputs from you and interacting with you in the near future. In the meantime, my mantra is take care of yourself, take care of your family, and take care of Barbados. Take care.